If you'd open your Bibles up to 1 Kings 11. We're continuing the series on the kings. Periodically, when we cover certain groups of them, then we'll have like a break for a lesson or two, and then we'll continue on. So it won't be nonstop kings till the destruction of Jerusalem, but I'll give you a break before they're destroyed. There's just so many lessons to be learned from the kings. And I find that once you personalize it for yourself, then the lessons can be internalized. When I was 5 years before I went to preacher school, we had small groups in Iowa City, and the guy who was teaching the small group at the church building on Sunday evenings, his wife had fallen, and there wasn't anyone else there to teach, and he had called me and asked if I could do it. I felt so bad about it that I said, you know, I'll just go ahead and do the class at the church on Sunday evening. I ended up doing it like for 4 years, but where I started was in the Kings. I started in 1st, 2nd Samuel, 1st, 2nd Chronicles, 1st, 2nd Kings, and it turned out to be one of my favorite books, writings in general, because it's stories. It's about people. It's historical events, and I really appreciate the history because you can learn quite a bit from it. Well, this morning we covered Rehoboam, the first king of the divided empire, Solomon's son. He was the divider. Now we're going to look at the guy who broke off from him, Jeroboam. Not Jeroboam, son of Nebat, not Jeroboam II. We'll cover him down the road. But Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, we're going to look at the profile of a dirty politician because that's really what he boiled down to. I mean, he was a dirty politician. And look at 1 Kings 11, verse 26. First of all, he stirred up trouble among the populace like a dirty politician. It says that Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, the Ephraimite of Zeredah, Solomon's servant, whose mother's name is Zeruah, a widow, also rebelled against the king. And later on, we find that God also informed him that he would be taking the 10 tribes with him. But keep in mind that he was rebelling against Solomon on his own. Solomon gave him a job as an administrator to collect tariffs under the particular section of Israel. He was entrusted with a job. When he saw that there were people who didn't want to pay the taxes, you know, and understandably they didn't want to pay the taxes, he started undermining Solomon. He was doing what dirty politicians do. Tried to throw somebody under the bus. He stirred up trouble among the people. He became their leader at this point. But he also, look at 1 Kings 12, verses 2 through 5. He capitalized on a crisis just like a dirty politician. 1 Kings 12, 2 through 5. Now when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, heard it, he was living in Egypt, so he fled to Egypt, as we discussed this morning, because Solomon had put a hit on him. He found out he was trying to undermine him. Well, he fled to Egypt, and it says, for when he was yet in Egypt, he had fled from the presence of King Solomon. Then they sent and called him. Jeroboam and all the assembly of Israel came and spoke to Rehoboam, saying, you know, your father made our yoke hard. Now therefore lighten the hard service of your father and this heavy yoke which he put upon us. We will serve you. Then he said to them, depart for 3 days and return. So the people depart. As we covered this morning, Rehoboam did not listen to the advice of the experienced. He listened to the advice of his friends, and it was bad advice. It ended in a split nation. They say a dirty politician never wants to waste a good crisis. for it's an opportunity to score political points. Jeroboam had no problem whatsoever coming back when Solomon was gone. He knew that this was an opportunity for him to seize control. He knew the mood of the people, and when they called for him, hey, you were a high-ranking government official. I think that you might be the one we're looking for. He wasted no time whatsoever. He showed up. He was worried about his standing in the polls, just like a dirty politician. Look at 12:25 through 27. See, Jeroboam built Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim. He lived there, and he went out from there and built Penuel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now the kingdom will return to the house of David, back to Rehoboam. If this people go up and offer sacrifice at the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then the heart of this people will return to their Lord, even to Rehoboam, the king of Judah, and they will kill me and will return to Rehoboam, the king of Judah. See, they were north of, I guess, the Mason-Dixon line, the line between the northern and southern empire. The nation was divided, and the problem was that the Jews knew they were commanded to worship in Jerusalem. Now, if you don't have Jerusalem, you're going to go back, and they're going to give you little pamphlets, give you little door prizes, or try to lure you into thinking, well, you know, why don't you come back? Why don't you just, you know, tell Jeroboam you don't want to worship up there because you can't. He was worried that he was slipping in the polls. He didn't want somebody. You see, the difference between, now all politicians aren't bad. The difference between a dirty politician and a politician is the fact that the dirty politician keeps his thumb on the polls at all times. Whereas the one who isn't, they just do what they're convicted of. That's what they'll do. And they don't really care what the rest of the populace would say. They're not going to be driven, licking their finger, putting it up, say, I'm going to go this way or that way. This is where Rehoboam was. He knew that he could really slip in favor of the northern kingdom if they would go back. So he wanted to keep those poll numbers up. So here's what he did. Here's the next step. He sought control of the religion of the people, just like a dirty politician. Look at 12:28 through 33. Then the king consulted and made two golden calves. And he said to them, it is too much for you to go to Jerusalem. Behold your gods, O Israel, that brought you up out of the land of Egypt. He set one in Bethel, and the other he put in Dan. Now this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one as far as Dan. He made houses on high places and made priests from among the people who were not sons of Levi. Jeroboam instituted a feast in the eighth month, on the 15th day of the month, like the feast which they had in Judah. He went up to the altar, thus he did in Bethel, sacrificing to the calves which he had made. He stationed in Bethel the priest, the high places which he made. He went up to the altar which he made in Bethel on the 15th day of the 8th month, even in the month which he had devised in his own heart. That's key. He instituted a feast for the sons of Israel, went up to the altar of burnt incense. Look what he's trying to do. Beware of any politician that tries to throw the religion into this. Now, it's important that a politician be a religious man. But when they try to control the religion of everyone else, it can be quite dangerous. Because now he's the inventor of religion. He beckoned back to the golden calves. Remember the golden calf they had that they made with the jewelry of all the people? Donated, according to Cecil B. DeMille, which he got from the Bible. And he said, Let's get the old-time religion, the Egyptian religion, Apis the bull god. That's who they're worshiping. And he put one in the north, one in the south. So that way, everybody could go worship. The problem was, it wasn't what God said to have. He got priests. He set up the holidays. I mean, it was his structure. He devised it in his own heart. Don't you hate it when politicians throw around religion to try and sway the people? You can see that a lot. It's been going on for decades. I'm more concerned whether or not they're living a faithful walk. And, you know, what they do away from the campus, that's what really matters. 2 Timothy 3 verse 5, it says, holding to the form of godliness, although they denied its power, avoid such as these. Those who hold a form of godliness but deny the power thereof, watch out. Paul's saying, watch out, this is a common thing. And the whole reason I'm covering this, if you're saying, well, Doug, I don't understand why I'm covering it. I want you to see that it's the same thing over and over and over again. No matter what we ever see in this country or in any other country, it looks the same. And the reason why is they're human. And we really don't devise any new tricks. Control the religion. That's what dirty politicians do. He was resistant to the voices of opposition, just like a dirty politician. Look at 1 Kings 13, 1 through 6. Jeroboam, it says, now behold, there came a man of God from Judah. By the way, Jeroboam was told, he said, if you will just follow me, he was told by the prophet of God, if you follow God, I'll keep your kingdom in place. But if you do what Solomon did, I'll take you out. Hold that thought. So here's a prophet. He was falling into idolatry. So the prophet came to him while Jeroboam was standing by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar of God by the word of the Lord and said, altar, altar, thus says the Lord. Behold, a son shall be born to the house of David, Josiah by name. And on you he shall sacrifice priests of the high places who burn incense on you. Human bones will be burned on you. He gave a sign that same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be split apart, and the ashes which are on it will be poured out. Now when the king heard this saying of the man of God, he cried against the altar of Bethel. Jeroboam stretched out his hand from the altar and said, seize him. The hand which he stretched out against him dried up, so that he could not draw it back to himself. The altar was split apart and the ashes poured out according to the sign which the man of God had given. The king said to the man, please entreat me, your Lord, your God, pray for me that my hand be restored. So the man of God entreated him and the king's hand was restored. But you see, when somebody came and spoke against him, this was all happening because, I mean, from the very beginning, God said, if you go astray, I'll take you out. You'll be wiped out. I know Jeroboam didn't forget it. He just didn't want to remember it, that's all. And when this man confronts him about it, let's silence him. It backfired, though. A dirty politician will stop at nothing to silence those who are in disagreement with him. If you have great ideas, you should be able to just put one up and talk about it. That's the Christian way, isn't it? Be able to talk about it. Not everybody has all the answers. The politicians, that's dirty. They try to control things. They try to silence groups, and it happens, I'm telling you, it happens all over the world, all the time. That's the difference between a good politician and a dirty politician. I don't know about you, but I watch too much Fox News. and CNN. I don't listen to talk radio. I can't handle it. But I get uptight with all of them. And you know that the state of the country today, there's a lot of upset people. They're upset with these politicians. Not because they're so much politicians, but a lot of them are dirty. But there's no new thing under the sun. It's always been that way. It kind of comes with the territory. But don't give up on everybody. Just give up on the bad ones. He tried to buy people of influence just like a dirty politician. 1 Kings 13:7-10, the king said to the man, "Come home with me and refresh yourself, and I'll give you a reward." But the man said to the king, "If you were to give me half your house, I wouldn't go with you. Where would I eat your bread or drink water in this place? So it was commanded to me by the word of the Lord, saying, 'You shall eat no bread, nor drink nor water, nor return by the way which you came.' So he went the other way. He did not return by the way of Bethany." Hold your enemies close. That's the motto of the dirty politician. Buy off, bribes, things like that. That's not new. And that's always been about that. Can't beat them, bribe them. Pull them close to you. Jeroboam is a very, very dirty, dirty politician. He engaged in deceitful practices just like one. 1 Kings 14:1-4. "At that time, Abijah, the son of Jeroboam, became sick. Jeroboam said to his wife, 'Arise now, disguise yourself so that you will not know, so that he won't know that you're the wife of Jeroboam. Go to Shiloh. Behold, Ahijah, the prophet, is there, who spoke to you concerning that I would be king over the people. Take 10 loaves with you, some cakes, a jar of honey, and go to him, and I will tell you, he'll tell you what happened to the boy.' Jeroboam's wife did so and arose and went to Shiloh and came into the house of Ahijah. Ahijah could not see, for his eyes were dim because of the age." He tried to use deceitful practices to gain information. His son was sick. He said to his wife, "Throw these garments on." This was Ahijah, the one who announced that he would be king, who tore his suit up. And now they're trying to trick him. It backfires on him, though. Because if you continue to read, you'll see that Ahijah knew who it was. See, a blind man of God can only see better than a seeing sinner. And he said, "Your son will die. There's your news." Sure enough, his son died. But Jeroboam, the dirty politician, he was doing deceitful stuff. Just like all dirty politicians do. And he'll be remembered in a negative light, just like a dirty politician. Look at 1 Kings 14:19-20. The rest of the acts of Jeroboam, how he made war, how he reigned, behold, they are written in the book of Chronicles of the kings of Israel. The time that Jeroboam reigned was 22 years. He slept with his father. Nadab, his son, reigned in his place. And if you go to 15:25 and following, his son Nadab, he became king over Israel in the second year of Asa. That's the southern kingdom. And he reigned over Israel 2 years. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, walked in the way of his father, and in his sin, which he made Israel sin. And it says in verse 27, Baasha killed him. That's the next dynasty. Here was a man told that the kingdom, northern kingdom, is going to follow you. You keep your record clean, or I'll take you out. You know, if you continue to read through 1 Kings and even in 2 Kings, Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, became the standard bearer for all that was evil in Israel. They'd constantly be saying, just like Baasha dynasty was taken out, the Amorite dynasty was taken out after that. Dynasty after dynasty taken out, and they'd say, you're going to get exactly what Jeroboam, son of Nebat, did. Because you followed Jeroboam, son of Nebat. He was remembered until 722 BC when the northern kingdom fell. As that. So what's the point of the lesson? I touched on it just briefly. See, Memorial Day weekend, because it's hot, you get a short lesson. Okay, I know you're happy. But I just want you to remember, because a lot of times we get wrapped up. I'm trying to wean myself from the news. I'm trying to read more of the good news lately. That spill has me upset, though. But there's no new thing under the sun. If you get upset this week and you say, wow, you know, what can these politicians do next? I don't care what side you're looking at. If they do something that looks dirty, don't act surprised. Really, don't act surprised. Dirty politicians have been around for thousands of years. Every culture has to deal with it, even during Jesus' day. And it turned out pretty great. God still managed to put forth a plan to save all mankind from their sin at the height of political correctness, at the height of political immorality, at the height of dirty politics. So, leave you with this question. If you think today is bad, what's good about it? If you don't have Christ in your life, you're not living for Christ, then do that. Don't be distracted by the other stuff. This lesson's over. Jeroboam, the dirty politician, close your Bible, you covered him. Let him rest not in peace, but make sure you're resting in peace and the joy of the Lord. So if you have not become a Christian or you want to renew your faith, if you're hurting in any way, we're going to go ahead and offer an invitation song while we stand and sing for you to respond.